to participate in the Donna Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Donna Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Donna Mike.
Every Halloween, the trees are filled with underwear.
Better get your costume. We gotta get going.
To dress up on Halloween so you can get candy.
Children of the night.
I'm a princess because princesses get the most candy.
What music they make.
Toilet paper, shaving cream, and eggs.
Oh, I don't want to be a monster. Monsters are big and scary, like the ones hiding under my bed.
Go to sleep.
I think I saw a ghost.
Go on.
Like candy? Yeah, I'm out of good and plenty. It says on the box that there's plenty,
but it's never enough.
Do you babies want to know the bestest part of dressing up for Halloween?
Ghosts, spooks, skeletons, shit stuff. Each precious pumpkin a picture of perfection.
There are no such things as ghosts.
For the rest of your life, you're the pumpkin man.
One of those losers who puts no effort into finding a costume. You know, when I was a kid, we called them Halloween.
Exactly. You know why? Because he's a monster.
So far, the only monsters I've seen are you two.
Happy Halloween.
Hello, I'm William Castle, the producer of I Saw What You Did. I'm happy to join the management of this theater in personally inviting you to attend a special world premiere of I Saw What You Did at this theater. There will be celebrities, lights, and plenty of excitement. Everything for a gala premiere in the glamorous Hollywood style. Oh, and another thing, and this is important. I will be at this theater with my Hollywood cameraman to give everyone an opportunity to be in the movies. By that I mean, you will be interviewed and photographed as we do with the Hollywood stars. See you at your own premiere. I'll be looking for you. And remember, this theater will furnish seat belts for your safety. So you won't be shocked out of your seat.
Don't answer it. See it.
Don and Mike Show. Here in the center ring is the man with the cool pool, the crazy canine, the big lovable that literally speaks of his life on air, ringmaster Don Geronimo. Now, folks, direct your attention to the next ring. He's the Harley-riding, restaurant-owning, should I have a baby or not? The finest mimic of all the land, Mike O'Mara. Gaze into the third ring, you'll see and smell the sweetness, the kind of funky, kind of skunky, newsman, Buzz Burbank. Now don't be afraid, whoa! He's the harmless, very white ape. He only hits ya because he loves ya. Robbie, beware! Now let's not forget the telephone guy in the back.
Who he?
The head of Middlelight Floating.
Who he?
The legendary Joe Ardinger. Now, sit back, grab your peanut bag, get a hold of your popcorn balls, and settle in for another titillating time with the Don and Mike Show!
There she is, Taffy Diabetic.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm not really sure if those farts were for us or for her. They started out being for her.
But then they kind of went along with us pretty well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Hello!
Oh, for God's sake.
Hello!
The old ones, the bold ones, the never been sold ones. Spirit! I got a light on you.
Thank you!
You're welcome.
Hello!
Hi there.
Hello!
Okay. Hi, Dynamite.
Hello.
Thank you.
Fancy digs you got here.
Thank you.
Well, how bad you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pay me.
Suck on that, loser. You can suck this.
I'll drink to that.
Oh, hi there.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Cookies, you the devil.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Ben. Big Ed. And you can tell by the smell. This is the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody, on this Tuesday.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
It's 1024-06.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
I know.
I'd let you in just so I could kill you on top of it.
Right, it's October 24th.
Mind your own effing business. Leave me the F alone. I hate you. F you. Shut the F up.
There you go. That's our motto.
Yep.
You can call us from anywhere in America. 24 lines, no waiting, including Canada, at 877-365-3636. You can hear us on your computer. Go to our website, dynamitewebsite.com. Click on Listen Live, and you'll catch Mike O'Mara's blog, which is on there today.
Oh, boy.
Mike's blog.
Boring.
Oh, hey. I kid, Mike, because...
Oh, my God. Right out of the shoes.
Your blog is exactly...
Jeez, don't hurt me.
It's exactly what a blog should be.
Yes, it is.
It is. It's a good blog by Mike, and it's on our website at DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Yes. But I think you summed up how you felt. It's the political part was for, isn't it? It's Mike, the political thing. That's
I was busting your balls.
The boring, right?
Glanced at it. I've not even really read it. I read the part about minivans.
Oh, minivans.
Minivans. Yes, that was funny.
I didn't write that, Rob.
This part,
boring. I'm kidding, of course.
That's just standard.
Yeah.
I made what? I'll mention it with my own. How about my own blog? Well, all right, it didn't work on mine.
Boring.
Oh, good. Glad you joined the blog nation, Mike.
I did that first thing this morning and wrote that in my underwear.
You know what Mike is now? He's a member of the blogosphere.
Mike, you're a member of the internet now.
I really am. I've never blogged before.
If you want to email us during the show...
Norman!
That's right. Yanni Norman is back there with our voluminous fan mail.
Right.
The email, John piling in right now, isn't it?
As we speak.
There you go.
Listen to that enthusiasm.
Confirmed.
Email us at dynamitewebsite.com. What was that, Kong?
Where's his hat?
Where's your hat?
Oh, he's wearing it now. There it is. Put it back on.
His gangster
hat. The Yanni hat. Since he has no hair.
Got his gangster hat
has
on.
Has to wear the stocking cap.
Got to keep the lights in there somehow.
You know who he looks like?
You guys got any rodents back there yet?
We were just discussing.
Clean that up right after you said something.
With that hat on, John looks like the kid in American Beauty.
He does indeed.
Who walks around taking photographs and videotapes.
Ask me why I'm photographing that dead bird.
Why are you photographing that dead bird?
Because it's beautiful. I want to buy some pot. That was it. You know, it was on TNT the other night, and it was edited.
I hate it
when it's edited.
However,
but it's still a good movie.
I should mention, we TiVo'd it, because, you know, Janet and I had that ongoing bet.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, it's
so,
Dylan.
So, yeah, and we're fast-forwarding through the movie.
In fact, I watched the scene where he's saying,
her scene,
that's what you think when he's pumping iron.
First scene that she remembered from that movie is where he's pumping iron, and Annette Bening comes in, and he says, uh-oh, mom's home. And she said, he's listening to American Woman by the Guess Who. And I said, you know, no way, I'm not an expert on movies, but no, I remember him driving in the car listening to that. So we must have had this argument. She laid a dollar bill down on my kitchen counter.
She wasn't ready to concede after it was on the air, right?
No, we had to actually go through the movie, watch the scene where Lester Burnham is driving by the Mr. Smiley.
Love the name, Lester Burnham.
He's smoking his pot. He's going to go buy his double Smiley burger. She says, okay, but they use it again later.
Right.
So then we had to fast forward to the scene. The guy played us on the show.
Yeah.
Where it's, I think it's Jimi Hendrix doing a Bob Dylan song.
Right.
She said, still not the scene I'm talking about. Mm. So we got to fast forward later in the movie. And
well, that's the scene that she had indicated. That,
well, then
you know.
This is where the double speak started to begin before finally...
He works that again, doesn't he, with his shirt off or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, and that we had to go find that scene as well.
Of course. Here's a great, an American Beauty, an absolutely wonderful movie for trivia questions, and here's one for you. If you're really a passionate fan of that movie, when he drives through the burger joint, where he discovers that he's gonna fill out an application, what's the drink order? What does he order to drink?
An orange?
Yeah. Excellent. Orange soda.
Orange soda.
That's good. It's just
soda.
The way he does it.
And for those of you who have worked in the fast food industry, as I am proud to tell you I have.
Yes.
That, my friends, is the soda of the brother and sister.
The orange soda.
Orange soda or grape soda.
Surely.
Back in the day when it was offered, when I worked, Mike, not only at Burger King or Burger Chef, but also at Roy Rogers.
Right.
It would quite often be, you could tell immediately, as soon as a black fella or gal came in,
yes,
right away you'd start filling up orange soda. It was
so that's when you started to stereotype, when you could actually stereotype through sodas.
That was, I guess that was an early part of my stereotype.
That was the early part of your stereotyping career.
Yeah.
The orange soda stereotype.
Good for you.
Rob said good for you.
Good for you. What?
What was the cracker whitey?
Manager. The manager actually one day pulled me aside and said, in an effort to speed up things, because remember at the Rockville, Maryland Burger Chef, I was the Rosa Parks of guys.
You worked in the back,
working behind the counter,
right?
I was the first boy in this Burger Chef to say that I wanted to work up front where the girls were.
Oh, so you were blazing a trail.
I wanted to work the cash register.
You were innovating. You were pioneering.
Well, because I started working at this place, and working in the back, and anyone that's worked in fast food knows, closing, well, much like at...
Nice look around cafe.
Right.
It's the worst job in the world.
But you're back in the kitchen.
Yeah, you're just cleaning up all the mess, and you know that in just like an hour it's going to be just as dirty when they open the place back up. So it sucked. So I eventually went to the guy and said, you know, how come only girls are working up front? I didn't think it was fair, so he gave me the shot.
Hey.
So he gives me the shot, and part of the thing was, you know, even back then, this was like 1971.
The manager of the Burger Chef.
The manager
Gary
of the Burger
Berkowitz.
actually said, you know, you want to get them in and out as fast as possible.
Right.
Keep in mind at that time you had also the dreaded howdy partner, Welcome to Roy's.
And your friends used to come in and mock you.
Yeah, you had to say to every customer. The guy that was the manager.
Now you're confusing the burger joints here because... Was Burger Chef, you didn't have to say. You had to say that at Roy Rogers.
Roy Chef.
You believe you're a Burger Chef
on Aspen Hill Road.
So you didn't have a study partner at Burger Chef.
No, you didn't. And when I got fed up working at Burger Chef, when I got the cherry gig at Roy Rogers working behind the counter, that's when they said, no problem behind the counter, but you do have to wear the hat, and you do have to say to everybody that comes up, howdy, partner, welcome to Roy's.
Wow.
So my friends would come in, and when they would come up, like, to get a ketchup refill, I mean, the rule was, every time, howdy, partner, welcome to Roy's.
Every time.
But the guy at the Burger Chef was the guy who late one night during closing time, you know, and for all I know, the guy could have been a marked car, could have been a pedophile in waiting, sure. I don't know. I rode my bicycle to this freaking job.
Right.
And this was the kind of parenting that I had going on.
Uh-huh.
Said to my parents, I was in ninth grade, I lied about my age to get a job.
Right.
working at this burger shop. And part of the deal was, like, on Sunday night, I would work from 4 till closing. I mean, I worked from 4 till 1 in the morning. It was, I don't know, 5 miles away from my house. I ran my bicycle there. I ran my bicycle home going down Georgia Avenue.
At 1 a.m.?
Yeah, which everybody knows is just, it's just an accident waiting to happen.
Right.
Just some stupid kid riding my bicycle. One night, like at 12:30 when I have class the next day at 7 a.m., as I'm scraping grease and trying to pitch this guy on how I want to work in the counter.
Right.
That's when he originally told me, but there's lots of things you got to look for with different people.
Right.
And, I mean, he said about all kinds of people. Fat people, young people, skinny people. But the one I remembered was whenever you get a black person, I guarantee, 9 times out of 10, they're either going to order orange or grape soda. Most times grape. So be ready, because the Fanta machine, which is where we got the, I swear to God, Fanta. This is how it was laid out to me. The Fanta machine required more maintenance than the regular soda pop machine.
Because there's more syrup, probably.
Yes, so yeah. What you had to do was be careful. You could have no overages, you could have no spillovers, but you had to be ready. You had to be ready. And at the end of the day, goddamn, if he came through and there was some orange soda or some grape soda left, that would have to be tossed at the end of the day.
He didn't like that.
No, he would toss the Pepsi or whatever it was.
Right.
But when it came to the grape soda and the orange soda,
precious.
It
was liquid gold.
Yes. Watch it.
Very expensive syrup.
Just watch it.
He was watching his costs.
Food costs.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Man hours.
I never worked. I never had the pleasure. Never could. You know, we had a McDonald's in my hometown, and never could crack that that elite. Because in my town, growing up, that was the job. That was the job to get. If you got the job at McDonald's, you had really scored a great job, and we couldn't do it. That's why they gave me a wedgie in the tobacco field.
Well, consider yourself lucky, Mike.
It was tobacco, painting houses, and then working for Katz Creative Decorating, which was formerly Katz Hardware. An offshoot where he made it a paint store. And my first day on the job, I put the paint on the conveyor belt the wrong way, going down to the basement, and it fell, and all 4 paint cans opened up. And shortly thereafter, he called me into his office, and Dick Katz... No, what Dick Katz said to me was, generally, things haven't worked out.
Seeing something like that sticks with you, doesn't it?
Oh, it totally sticks. I remember it like it was yesterday.
And don't you hope that Dick... No pun intended, is listening right now.
I know he's still writing a column for our town paper. I know he is. Well, I think he is.
I guarantee you're a bigger man than he is.
And he doesn't have the decorating store anymore. He's got the hardware store. I drive by it all the time.
I hope he's really down on hard times, Mike.
He's not. It's family enemy. Family enemy. You know?
Well,
yeah, we still, and I'm sure my mom and when my father was alive, probably still went into the hardware store. But my father had it was the only battle my father ever fought for me. My father thought I was treated nastily and called the guy on the phone. I was never more.
Sure he doesn't sell his. I'm sure hardware supplies to hamburgers, you outsell him.
I think maybe you're right. I think you're absolutely right. But I do remember that was the only time.
Take away your illustrious radio career. Just your side career as a restaurateur.
You know, my old man.
You've blown this guy out of the water.
Right. God rest his soul. My old man stood up for me with that. He didn't like it. He didn't like the way I was treated. But when I did the fake sneeze in Robin Riley's hair and the friendlies, and I went down and we were called down to the police station, my father let me go by myself. And I remember walking into the police station, and all the dads were there with the kids, the culprits. My dad, you know, figured, you know, when he said, what did you do? I said, I did a fake sneeze. He said, well, it upset her. Go down there and deal with it. I went, and I went down there. But as far as, you know, the old hardware store, he fought that battle for me. But he didn't help me when I was hanging from a tree by my underwear after I got the wedgie.
Oh, God, mine is very pedestrian. It's a magic shop.
That's not pedestrian.
Another magic shop.
I mean, you'd have fast food experience. I didn't have that when I was growing up.
And 2 fast food restaurants, and then boom, right to the exciting world of radio, and a bright future in sales.
Mine was in order. Mine was Katz Hardware, and then it was painting houses. No, then it was tobacco. Then it was painting houses. Then it was a camp counselor. Then it was a counselor in training director. And a school bus driver. Did you know that I was a school bus driver?
Yes, I know. That's when you could not come in contact with kids for a while.
That's right. It was illegal.
We all remember that.
I mean, I tell you, and I had a tiny little house. with a tiny little driveway, and I backed my school bus into that driveway.
Yeah.
Every night when I came, and my house was on a hill, too.
I think
and
you
it
were...
was it was very, very cool. And when I was the counselor and training director, I actually drove the school bus home every night and parked it in my driveway.
Of course, it's a cherry perk of having that gig.
It was a YMCA day camp.
The yellow bus?
Camp Phelps Ingersoll.
Was
that
it
was
yellow...
the name of it, Camp Phelps Ingersoll.
Was it short? Was it a short bus, full size bus, yellow bus?
No, it was normal kids.
Partridge Family
normal
bus?
Normal day camp kids.
Partridge Family-like bus?
No, regular yellow school bus. And then full-time. Because I got the bus driver's license for that job, that following year in college when I come home from break, I would be a regular school bus driver, which was just about the greatest thing in the world. And
incredible!
I was not an ethical school driver at all. And I don't
really?
Encourage school bus drivers to do this. I think the statute of limitations has run out on this. For the high school kids who were... very close in my age anyway.
Right.
I use the brake technique. And there is nothing that makes you feel more powerful than when you have a rowdy bus full of high school kids to come up to the stop sign and at the last second you really punch the brake and you see 30 little heads just kind of snap in the back of their teeth.
Sure.
It's great. Drove it in a tornado and drove it in a snowstorm. Yeah, I allowed talking, but if it got too much and I was trying to, you know, just get the bus under control, I said nothing. I let my brake do all the talking. I truly did. I had more fun driving that school bus.
Never find your flask.
No. It was in a very secure place next to the fire extinguisher. It was wonderful. And then at the end of the day, of course, we would race the buses back to the parking lot.
Of course.
And one time, I think there was a pretty nasty little accident. One of the guys, like after I'd gone back to college, one of the guys that unfortunately was staying in town had gotten one of the lifers, as I like to call him.
Yeah,
he was in his 30s or something like that, and he'd raced one of the fat ladies. Because most of your school bus drivers, it's a prerequisite you have to be a fat woman to drive them. But man, I enjoyed it. God, I love driving a school bus. Like one of my favorite jobs ever in the whole wide world.
Well, that field will be wide open to you.
Yes. I'm excited in 2008.
Oh, God, Mike.
It's going to be fun. The kids are excited, too. I might do that.
Oh, you're on the air. I dare you. Hello. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Hey, do you remember emptying the deep fryer?
Yeah.
Not a worse job. There is not a worse job. I mean... And for a while, it makes you not want to eat fast food.
Anything fried.
Fortunately, I got over it, as most people who work there do. But
how often would you change the oil at your fast food place?
I don't even remember.
That depended on how much the guy was trying to save money. Ours was every 2 or 3 days.
When it gets foul.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't work every day at this fast food place. And when I would go in, a lot of times I'd do the crappy job. But I'm pretty sure, at least at the burger shop, there was a very low standard of quality. There was not a lot.
Did you have a fish, a fried fish product at Burger Chef?
Yes, we did.
Oh, man.
Sure we did.
These fries smell like fish.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Sure we did. Go home and you would just smell like, that's the one thing. You could not get the smell of that friggin' place off.
I bet with the burger grease coming up off the grill.
Just go home and scrub and scrub and scrub and still you end up just smelling like going back there with the onions and
pizza. And it's volume. And so it's the burger grease just coming right off the grill right onto you.
But there was a lot of good times there.
Were there hot women that worked there? Were the girls cute that worked at Burger Chef?
Mike, I was not even, my penis had nothing to do with my thought process when I worked there. I had two things that were on my mind. First, to make money. And then second, to try to have fun. And man, I'm going to get you. You won't want to go to a fast food restaurant, I'm sure. They don't do things now like we did then.
Right, no.
But we would do stuff. We would do stuff
to the food.
Oh my god! Sure, of course. I mean,
like in the casino.
Worse than casino. I mean, worse than spitting.
Worse than that.
Wow. Yeah, and I mean, like, not at people in general. Not like, oh, that guy pissed me off. Let's do something. It would just be like if a hamburger fell on the dirty, stinky floor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody would go over and step on it. And then...
maybe somebody pick it up and put it back in the bun?
Every time.
Oh.
And then what you would do is, it was great fun because it would be one hamburger, like out of 10 that were just made, and you would put the tray up for them to serve it, and you would just wait to see the person...
wait for them to take
the mat that got the magic
burger. It was so very sad.
One time...
so very sad.
We had a Burger Chef was... breakthrough where they came here with a salad bar.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. Salad bar. Ahead of the time with a salad bar.
Sure.
Yeah. A lot of times I had salad bar duty.
Buzz, you notice Buzz's little We Had That, and I know that was a Shakey's reference, wasn't it?
Yes.
I can relate. But still describes as his best job ever.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was your best job ever.
It is.
Was there a Shakey song?
We're kidding, of course. We serve fun at Shakey's, also pizza. Yes. Clever.
One time, now that I'm thinking about it, I think maybe the grossest thing that I did on a bet, not a bet for money, just like where you're hanging around the back of the store like on a Sunday night. Well, look, first, I told you what we used to do anyway.
Right.
Because Sunday night was closing. Closing,
that's some kind of fight, didn't you?
Closing was at midnight. And we used to always pull the scam because we'd start cleaning early.
Right. Oh, that's right. That's right.
So we would actually tell people that we were closed.
Turn off the sign?
You know, no, the sign would be open on a case the manager drove by.
Right.
But this is before a drive-thru, so if anybody would come up, we would just say, hey, we're closed. Closed early tonight. Mm-hmm. And then we would have ice ball fights with the stuff from the salad bar. But one of my crowning achievements when I worked at Burger Chef was they dared me to go over when I was working the salad bar area, clean-up salad bar, which was a gross and disgusting job because you had all of the dressing and those big ladles that people use.
You have macaroni salad or potato salad?
No, back then it was
just greens.
It was just greens.
Greens and the dressing, though, was gross.
Five gross dressings and little rotten...
You have chunks of eggs that you would...
Cherry tomatoes, yes, and the thing with that. Anyway,
that's why salad bars are gross in general.
Anyway, I don't know if I came up with someone else to go up to the salad bar when I was cleaning up and in front of everybody, very discreetly pick my nose and then wipe my I shouldn't be telling this. And then,
Jesus.
Then wipe my finger around the bowl of the big bowl.
Oh God.
And all of the salad stuff.
I'd never heard that one before.
And I mean,
Jesus.
But you want to talk about just for the audience?
Right.
That I was playing to, the four teenage pimply boys who had never had any records.
Any of your gang worked in the Burger Chef? Were any of your gang members?
No, these were all guys I didn't know. But, do something like that, and it would be, you'd have to sneak out there, and you imagine you're doing something like Mission Impossible-like.
Right.
And then you'd have to, I remember this distinctly, putting my head underneath the protective wooden sneeze guard to look under so they could see me. Because I was looking through back, almost like you look through to the back studio here, looking all the way back to where the fryer was, going, hey, watch now, and then just jamming my finger. Watch, see this? And then wiping
them out.
And see the guys back there just...
falling down.
Dying! Dying! Now, they can't laugh out loud because there was only like two customers in the place.
Was there a manager on duty?
Of course there was. That's what made it all the better that
he was out by the dumpster or something like that?
He was sitting right in his office, right with the door open.
Wow.
We would do stuff like that all the time.
How old would you figure he had been, maybe in his 30s?
In his late 30s.
Oh, man. And he's hating life.
And then also...
Oh, you little runts walking around.
Who else didn't do this for your friends? I couldn't do this all the time, but... they didn't have the most sophisticated marketing way to make sure what you were selling.
Accounting system?
Yeah.
Point of purchase?
That I think at the time, a hamburger was something like maybe like 39 cents.
It's before the days of like computers and all that?
Yeah, but they had something like a glass of water that was like 5 cents. So I would have a friend come up and order like 10 hamburgers. Eight by 50 cents. 50 cents for them. But nothing of it.
They never caught you on that.
Of course they did.
Because there was no computer record keeper.
No, and
nobody looking over your shoulder.
And the register would balance out at the end of the day. And that's
it's like you're sitting there with a calculator.
That's all they cared about.
My father, this is not just you. When my father worked at the Dairy Delish in New Jersey, he worked with his brother. And once every couple nights, they would have to
make... The Dairy Delish?
That was the name of it.
Wow.
They would have to make...
He's a fag!
He didn't name it.
Welcome to the Dairy Delish.
It's the Dairy Delish.
They had to make the burger patties to be frozen. And their game was they would make a patty and throw it up to the ceiling to see how long they could get it to stay. And whoever got it to stay the longest would win. But one time they had three burgers up there and the owner walked in. And they had to talk to him. And luckily it didn't fall until he left.
Wow.
But they had the burgers hanging above until the owner left. So there's all sorts of shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Ye old shenanigans from the Bowery Boys.
but that's all we're going to get now. Is we're going to gross out stories. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Well, we're working at Ghetto Chef. Of course, their standards weren't that high. The standards at Mickey D's are a little higher. But I tell you, when I quit there after working 2.5 years, my complexion dried up so much. I had to actually put moisturizer cream on my face. Because it was unbelievable.
Wow.
Okay, goodbye. Get out of here.
Of course, thank Burger you. Chef no longer in business.
No.
Sadly, Great American Chain. And Shakey's no longer
out of business for all intents and purposes.
And Shakey's had the green peppers cut into little shapes, right?
Not that I recall, no.
They didn't, didn't they have a little design of the green peppers?
Not at our place.
Player pianos, right?
Yes, player pianos.
Player pianos at Shakey's.
Uh-huh, old-time movies.
Hello, Don and Mike
Show. Striped shirts.
Beer, yes.
Hello. Radio Buddhas, how you doing?
Hi there.
Hey, Mike, I'm just reading on RadioGodsForum.com. They are loving the blog, buddy.
Oh, really? Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm serious. It's a great blog. Don's and yours. It's a close tie.
All right, good. Good. I'm glad they like the blog.
Did you guys hear about Kenny Rogers? They found pictures of him with the smudge even in June and July, and he was using the cold weather excuse.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how big a scandal this can be. I don't think, but they can't. It's not like they can go back and, like, eliminate the games.
I brought this up yesterday, and not that I'm a foreseer, because anybody that watched the game on Sunday night knew that there was something funky going on.
Right.
We were talking about this before the show, that La Russa, the way Mike explained it to me, this guy, Kenny Rogers, is not allowed to have any crap on his hand or his hat.
No, I would imagine the way I know the rule, he gets thrown out. If you're the opposing manager and you call him on it, you say to the ump, I want that checked out, and he's got crap on his hand, I believe he can be thrown out of the game.
So why didn't La Russa do that?
I have no idea, other than the fact that La Russa and Leyland, the manager of the Tigers, are kind of buddy-buddy.
Well, he's a big pussy. He deserves a little.
But, I mean, I don't know whether he was aware of it. I mean, who called Kenny Rogers on it the first? Was it the umpire or Tony La Russa?
He was aware of it because people in the Cardinals were watching it in their dugout.
Right. And Tony La Russa had something to do with it, because it says what I read today is that they were collecting baseballs. He said not only was there the pine tar issue, but the fact that the baseballs might have been scuffed up. And that they had collected baseballs with marks on them.
Right. Right.
And that's what it was.
Yeah. The headline today. In
Rob, what are you doing?
Kenny Rogers.
Funny. That's really good. Thank you.
Oh, dear.
Thanks for taking the time to find that.
He sprung to a life on that one.
After seeing the video, do you believe that it was dirt that Kenny had in his hand, or was it something else?
Tony La Russa. And wouldn't it be great
Was that Tony La Russa not answering?
No, he's thinking about answering. Wouldn't it be great if he talked like the Italian stereotype? Hey! This is Tony La Russa.
He's a good boy, Kenny Rogers.
I don't know what he got on his hand.
He's a good boy. Got a little pine tar right between his index finger and his thumb. Oh, boy. Better not pet the late Otis. You get a fur on your hand.
He's a friend of ours.
Wow.
You're waiting.
I don't believe it was dirt. It didn't look like dirt. There's an indication from the clubhouse that something's going on with the pitcher, and I have a decision to make, and I decided that I was not going to be part of BS where I was going to ask the umpire to go to the mound and undress the pitcher.
Pussy. Yeah, pussy. You know what that says to me if I'm on the Detroit Tigers? Cheat your brains out.
Sure.
Cheat your brains out.
Have trouble arguing with you there. I really do.
Cheat like crazy because
if I'm a St. Louis Cardinal fan, I'm going, what do you mean, man? He's the opposition. But, you know, it's the whole, God, I don't know why he did
and then
that.
And then you got his gay lover for Detroit, the guy that he loves, Jim Leland.
Yeah.
Here's what the Detroit manager said. He's funny. He cracked me up.
Well, I'm not going to chew yesterday's breakfast.
I'm not going to chew yesterday's breakfast.
What the frick does that mean?
Well, I'm not going to chew yesterday's breakfast.
I mean, I know what it means.
We get it rehash. Hash being a breakfast term.
I know what it means. But
well, I'm not going to chew yesterday's breakfast.
Boy, listen to that mouth.
There was an article.
Sounds like some devil work.
In the Post today that there's some sort of unwritten and usually unspoken about code among managers. And even though they'll not bring it up, that's why.
Well, but you get managers like Billy Martin, the late Billy Martin, who would really want to, you know, win, win, win. Wasn't it Billy Martin that did the whole thing about George Brett with the pine tar on his bat? I mean, besides, it went up a little bit too far.
It's embarrassing if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan or if you're on that team. The guys out there...
If I'm a fan of the team, I'm pissed off.
He's got
cheating.
The goo and he's cheating. And you know what you're...
Because, I mean, he pitched lights out. I mean, he's not... Is he a good pitcher? Yeah. Is he a great pitcher? And he's pitching great in the postseason, so you got to wonder if maybe there's something going on.
So your manager says... I just didn't really want to be one of those managers. They don't have to have like complaints about.
You know what it is?
It's like a calendar.
What it is the fact that they are friends, and I think that that's the
and
reason
I'm
it happened.
And I'm friends with Jim Leland. And gosh, he's a handsome older man. All right, we were together before the game in the fauna.
I'm pretty pissed off if I'm a St. Louis fan. I mean, you do everything you can. If that's if you think that that is, you know, going to determine the outcome of the game, you know, that's pretty intense. Kenny Rogers. By Rob Stewart.
Everyone considered him the coward of the county.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
Did you ever hear of Kong?
Honest of a Kong!
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
Don't you see the singer and the pitcher have the same name?
Yeah, we understand, Rob. Thanks for the explanation.
Shut up, please.
Shut up! You know what? One of the jobs that I also had that I forgot to tell you about, this is the truth, I was an umpire. I was a paid umpire.
Wow.
I was a paid umpire. You know what I umpired? I swear to God.
What?
Girls softball.
Mike, hold on. We'll get back to that. I know you like me, would want to break in when Joe puts on the screen. Leslie wants to have a threesome.
Okay.
All
right, let's go.
All right, we'll divert our course for a moment.
Yes, very much so.
All right, and they're showing up.
Oh, that's not right. Joe?
What? Joe, what happened to Leslie with the threesome?
I don't know. She dropped off. I can get her back.
Okay, no urgency, Joe.
I'll get right on it.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
This would be...
Sorry about
Tuesday.
That,
Mike. Tuesday. This is Tuesday.
Tomorrow is Joe's optimum day.
I think I did girls softball and I did some other softball. I was a softball umpire.
We're very involved with children.
And I got... No, I suppose.
You were. All of your jobs.
How old were you? How old?
All of your jobs involved...
I don't know if it was...
Children, Mr. Carr.
It did not... Tobacco didn't involve children. House painting didn't involve children. Working at the hardware store didn't involve children.
Yes, but did you or did you not drive a bus?
I did, sir. Yes. Yes, I did. I plead guilty.
Were you a camp counselor, sir?
I was not only a camp counselor, I was a counselor in training director, which were the older kids.
Hey,
Mr. CITs. I was a CIT.
You know, you
then
were.
Then I was a camp counselor.
You were a CT. That's
and then
you
I was
were.
A CIT director.
CT, my friend.
What's that?
You were a CT.
I met a few CTs.
No, you were a CTs.
Well, can
to
I say
all those young impressionable boys and gals?
You know what's frustrating about these false allegations that I'm fielding here, Mr. Congressman?
What?
That during that particular time in my life, when I was 18, yeah. That was a very charged time, like with the other counselors. It was just really. You've seen the movie Meatballs?
Yeah.
You know, it was really. What's weird is like I went to college. When Animal House came out, and then right after that, I was like working as a camp counselor when Meatballs came out. It was very, very weird because I was feeling like I was seeing my life up on screen.
So are you going to take us away from the problems you had with children and instead say that you spent your time bouncing and frolicking with beautiful females?
No, because it wasn't plural. It was two. It was two women, but it was very. How shall I say? No, not at the same time.
Oh.
Two separate women who were. Who were actually older than I was, who steered me in a very, very interesting direction, and one who I had no idea. We were all out to the ground round, having a few drinks.
You can leave the penis shells on the floor.
Yes, and we were sitting there, and that's when I got the thigh touch.
Yeah.
We were at like the benches in a booth, and I got the thigh touch, and I'll never forget her name was Lynn, and I had no idea, and then the thigh touch.
And turn into a rub.
Higher thing. And, you know, in those days, it was very difficult for me.
He said, hey.
Yeah, I mean, it was my way of saying, well, wow, now I know.
Stop that. I only do that with my students. I mean, with the kids on my phone.
Stop it.
I only do that with the kids at camp.
Look, my Irish name is O'Mara. It's not Foley.
Is Foley Irish?
But I was a stud.
Is Foley an Irishman?
I was a camp counselor stud.
Is Foley an Irishman?
No, I really wasn't. It was just, it completely caught me by surprise.
Is Mark Foley Irish?
Yes, Foley's an Irish name. Big guy, big time Irish name. Now, you're going to incriminate me on the basis of the congressman? And that I was...
Well, on your testimony today, Mike.
Yes. Well, I'm just mentioning the jobs I had. They were the jobs I had. And you're trying to make it horrible.
No, I'm not.
It's not like I was a Boy Scout counselor. You know, not like I wore those shorts.
Certainly not.
But I did wear shorts.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. That's right. Hold on just one second.
Thank you for deflecting that off of me.
But that is, he's right with that. That's something we do have to explore someday.
Buzz is a
Buzz being
Boy
a
Scout?
Scout counselor.
Yeah.
That's weird.
A Boy Scout leader. Isn't that what it would be called?
Well, were you a troop leader?
I think there were Eagle Scouts. And yes, I was the troop leader at a radio station.
Troop leader. At a radio station. That's weird, too.
It's very odd.
That's weirder than your thing.
I mean, I wouldn't want to. I mean, as far as a bunch of troop of Boy Scouts, you wouldn't want to keep them further away from any other business than a radio station.
Unless you had other ideas, Mike.
That's right.
Unless you had other ideas.
Exactly. I was maybe 19. They were maybe 17.
Yeah. How about that? Just old enough to be one of their peers. Just old enough to buy them booze and just old enough to drive them around.
Boys, just a little bit older. Old enough where they'd look up to him. Boys and girls in the troop.
Mm-hmm. Old enough to have his 8mm projector.
We mean boys
yeah,
and
girls?
I think, what is it, at Eagle Scouts, then it can be co-ed, I think.
Well, they bring the Girl Scouts in?
No. A girl can just sign up, I think, to be an Eagle Scout, as I understand, as I recall.
That's right. If they have their
hold on, how can a girl really be in the Boy Scout?
I never knew that there were girl Eagle Scouts.
At that upper level, yes, absolutely.
Get her merit badge and pole dancing.
Hello,
I've never heard of an Eagle Scout.
Come see Mr. Elston's pole at the radio station.
Me either. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Are you still there?
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell you about I worked at Burger King 17 years ago myself. And this is when they first came out with the 99-cent Whopper. I did closings on Friday.
Hey, can you hold on, my friend?
We got her back on?
Joe got Leslie with the threesome back on. Leslie!
Gentlemen.
What happened to you, darling?
I don't know. I was holding on and it just chopped off.
Okay, because we broke into the show for hot threesome action.
How are you, Leslie?
I am well. How are you?
Tell us about what you want.
Well, let me tell you about what happened.
Yes.
I called you guys about a year ago.
Yes, Ms. Visser.
And it was one of those where Buzz yells at someone with the blowhorn to get a message through to them.
Yes, go ahead, Ms. Gold.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're actually leaving on our trip tomorrow, so I wanted to thank you and to give you the update.
Yes, Mr. Blue Buzz.
Because the message that I wanted to get through was to tell my husband that I didn't want to do a three-way. But you told me that my condition of winning the trip was that I had to reconsider, which I did.
That's right, okay. Ms. Gorn.
All right, hold on. We're all playing the Leslie game right now.
I was holding back on that one, just so you know, Buzz.
We're all playing the Leslie game when really we should be listening to...
We're not paying attention at all because I was thinking of Leslie.
Okay, can we do a reset?
Yep.
Here we go. Here's Leslie. Now,
go ahead, Ms. Uggams.
Who cares about this? Who cares about this stuff where you want a trip? When you were on the air with us a year ago and you won this trip, is what you're saying that your husband wanted you to have a three-way?
And that I didn't want to have one.
All right, so you're on a trip. Was it a cruise or a regular trip?
No. You're sending us on the trip. We're going to San Diego.
So you haven't gone yet.
They're going next week, right?
We're leaving tomorrow.
Okay, and now how does the threesome work into this?
Well, because the way the threesome works into this is because the thing that Buzz yelled at my husband to get through his head was that I didn't want to have a threesome. And you told me...
Gotcha.
And you told me that when we won the trip that we would win it as long as I would reconsider.
Have
you reconsidered?
I have reconsidered.
And are you going to have a threesome in San Diego?
We're hoping to.
So you're going to go out. Now, have you discussed how you're going to go about doing this? Hello?
Well, I have a friend who lives out there.
Can I tell you what I always do? Can I just tell you what I do? Go cruising for homeless guys.
Right. She has a friend out there.
That's really good.
You always, when you're looking for other men to be involved.
Yeah, but I want a third party.
When you have a third party. It's never women. It's only homeless men.
I go cruising on Rockville Pike.
It looks like the guys in that commercial where they throw the woman off the train.
He looks for homeless men or female Eagle Scouts.
He never comes first.
So this friend, is she hot out in San Diego?
Oh, yeah, she's hot.
And is this the one that your husband has his heart set on?
Oh, I think he'll be very happy.
So you are going to allow your husband to allow another. You are going to allow your husband to have another woman and to share your bed together, all three of you.
Actually, it's a couple, so we're gonna.
Oh my!
You're gonna swing? Do they know anything about this?
That's a foursome, honey. That's not a threesome.
Well,
But do they know anything about this?
The more the merrier, right?
They reconsider.
Now, I have to ask you again, because are they aware of this desire?
She is.
Really?
Kind of a surprise.
What about her husband?
She said she was going to work on him.
Shouldn't take long.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Well, what if he doesn't go along with it? Do you think maybe you guys could just, like, say, Pixie over here is going to take us out for a little sightseeing tour of...
We're going to SeaWorld.
You effing SeaWorld.
Not that SeaWorld, but, you know, the place was Shamu out in San Diego.
How do you think her hubby's going to react to this?
I think he'll be okay with it.
Leslie, does your husband know about this change? Because that's different than a threesome.
That's a four.
Oh, no.
You know, that is different. It's much different.
It's much more
now,
different.
Yeah, hold on.
More people.
You know, because a threesome...
I would be much more inclined to go for a threesome than I would with, like, another couple.
Because then you're going to have to be there laying in bed, as Buzz did, watching some other guy. Log.
And that's just not... I would never do that.
However, you know, one man, two women equals perfection.
That's, and I was watching that guy
beautiful.
From, what's the place, the Bunny Ranch or the Moonlight Ranch? Or what's the ranch? Dennis Hoff?
Yeah.
You know, as Dr. Sleazy old Dennis Hoff says, he goes...
Yeah, it's every guy's fantasy.
Right.
It's every guy's fantasy.
Two on one. Probably is.
Two on one.
You know, so, I mean, why is the guy all of a sudden worked into this? Because, see, that's what you want, right?
Well, no, it's because I don't know if she would do it. She was more inclined to say yes when I said that he could be included.
Well,
but then...
Now, see, I don't think it's right, and I don't think how does your husband feel about the idea of another guy being involved in this?
Oh, he thinks it's really hot to have another couple.
Oh, he does?
So would he?
Oh, yeah.
So, so it's gone from a threesome to swinging.
So hold on. So your husband will just be banging this other woman, and you will be banging this other woman's husband?
Well, no, I think that we'll all... kind of.
Or will you
experiment with the woman as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Will your husband experiment with the man?
Yeah.
I can't really see that, but.
But exactly, you're not shutting the door on
the heat of the moment.
You're telling us there's a chance.
Jesus. Man, this has changed, though. Your husband simply wanted a threesome.
And now you're bringing some other guy's hairy ass.
And frankly, I think if you wanted your husband to enjoy it, it should be maybe somebody that you don't really know that well.
Well,
no, hold on, Mike. I disagree because let's say it's someone that he's like Jimmy Carter has lusted in his heart after.
You're right about that.
For years.
I'm just saying for the no strings factor, and I'm not talking about that at all.
Oh, okay. Tampons.
You know, it's
all I know is this.
Periods.
This went from Cinemax After Dark to Real Sex 27.
Yeah.
In the turn of
it did. It did because it's a different deal.
All right, well, listen, after you get back from your gangbang, give us a call. Please do give us an update, Leslie.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right,
and
honey.
Thanks for the chat.
You're welcome. Very welcome.
Our pleasure.
Make sure you have all your shots.
Bye-bye.
They're really going out to San Diego. It's not about the trip to San Diego. It's all about the sex.
He's going out there to screw.
Raw animal sex.
Donna Mike Show.
Are you ready? Hey, Donna Mike.
You're a man.
Hey, hello there.
Sir?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I got a great story about working in a restaurant for you guys.
Yeah.
I worked for TGI Fridays for a while, and it used to be like a little bit of a going away thing that you would cover the person when they left with different, you know, food products around the restaurant.
Yeah.
And so on my last day, I decided I was going to really just, you know, I was going to get them back. So I came in with two super soakers filled with white vinegar. Oh. Unfortunately, they had been planning on this, too, and they had left, like, tuna fish and all sorts of other stuff. Like, they cleaned out the fry later, left it all out sitting overnight, and brought in one of those giant super soakers that, like, is like a fire hose.
Excuse me, Steven Spielberg is on the phone, and he wants to know if he can buy the rights to the story. He thinks it would be a great movie, a great action flick.
I was waiting for the point.
What's the end of this?
Yeah, what happened?
We just completely destroyed the whole back half of the restaurant in the middle of a shift.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Keylor.
That's crazy. I agree, Rob. Rob is indicating that the story lacks a little credibility.
It's false. True.
I believe it. It's boring.
It's like my blog.
Exactly, Mike.
It's the same thing.
Not as good, though. Exactly. Except, yeah, he was a little better than your boy.
Thank you, Don.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Hey, this is Sal from New York. I used to work 32 years ago in Burger King, of course, many years ago. And we did the one.
Wasn't that the Burger King they shut down, do the hairs on the burger?
Well, they do. I noticed they shut down more than McDonald's, so that must be the reason. But anyway.
Arm hair covering the burgers.
Yeah, we did the one-up deal, and This black guy I used to work with, he passed one of the whoppers down his pants and out his leg, if you know what I mean.
You know Sal, don't you, Don? This is Sal, Sal Manila.
Oh, that was cruel, man. Who's this? Is that Mike?
Hi, how you doing, buddy?
Mike, I got my class two, buddy, too, and just enjoying life here, but we're going into the restaurant business, so we may start competing with you.
Hey, all right.
So you're saying...
Sal Manila's just down the street.
Mr. Manila, you're saying that there was a guy... who would put the hamburger down his pants and let it come out as the leg of his pants?
Yeah. It was pretty nasty. He won up me and he won on that one. I wasn't going to do that.
All right, Mr. Palazzonio. Thank you.
Palazzonio, right?
Bye-bye.
Wild. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Salvatore.
Sal Palazzonio.
Look at Sal.
I'm playing the Sal game. Hello, Don and Mike.
Sal Minio.
You're the winner of the Sals, Mike.
Wow.
King of the Sals. I'm
embarrassed. So old.
I don't even know who it is, but I know it's
some
a real
like
person.
Old actor.
Huh? Hello, Donna Mike Show.
I think Buzz is talking about the Explorers, not an Eagle Scout.
That's what it was. An Explorer troop.
Yeah,
that's
Explorers.
Thank you, Buzz. Thanks for sweating the details.
A long time ago. Well, it didn't take you very long to figure that one out.
Explorers is like three levels below Boy Scouts. Explorers is not even
No, it's a division
registered.
Of the... Yeah, it is. It's a division of the Boy Scouts of America.
No, it's where the losers went.
Oh, okay.
Do they sell cookies?
Explorers. That's why it's a woman. But, I mean, they don't have Eagle Scouts and Explorers.
No.
I thought you said you were a supervisor to Eagle. Were you in a marijuana-induced haze when this was going on?
Man, it's been a million years ago. It was an explorer troop, which is at the upper end of the Boy Scouts of America.
Well, I mean, I think it's a more appropriate troop for you to supervise since you're into exploring.
Yeah, what exactly did you explore?
Everything.
Everything.
Like in that movie Real Genius.
This is everything. So it was not...
Not Eagle, it was Explorer.
Eagle was Explorer. Okay.
Weren't there bluebirds and brownies too?
Right.
Sure, bluebirds were before brownies.
It's a separate branch of the military.
Not
a
Mike show. Hello.
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 I wanted to talk about the Eagle Scout thing. The women or girls can't be Eagle Scouts. They could be explorers.
Yeah, that's what I've been in mind.
Where were you a half an hour ago when Buzz started spouting out all this stuff?
Well, I was trying to get through.
So explorers are aligned with the Boy Scouts.
Explorers are allowed with the Boy Scouts.
Aligned, not allowed.
Are they allowed or are they a part of the Boy Scout family of products?
Yes,
they are.
Family. Girls are allowed at the age of, I believe it's 14 or 15.
Which is Buzz's age of consent.
I was an explorer when I was 14 years old.
And did you have a young vigorous man?
Vigorous.
When I say vigorous.
I like vigorous. I think we've invented a new word.
Did you have a very vigorous, young, sexually charged instructor like Buzz? Who would come
Unfortunately, our troop leader was my mother's boyfriend at the time.
Still.
But he did enjoy...
What do you do now? Manage tennis courts?
But he did what?
He did enjoy looking at the younger girls, that's for sure.
He sure did.
Well, how young, though? That's disturbing.
We were 14, 15 through 18.
What do you do? What do you do now?
Through 18.
What am I now?
What do you do now? Yes, don't answer a question with a question.
What do you do now, honey?
I work at a payroll company.
She's all nervous.
I decided, don't be nervous. We just wanted to find out what you were doing now. Wanted to find out if those memories scarred you in any way.
It's not like we're going to give you an inquisition here. We're just kind of curious. Have you ever stolen from that company?
No.
No, I'm kidding. That's just a joke.
You have never taken a pen or a post-it note from your company? And that's where we lost her.
Wow. How convenient.
And that's where we lost her.
Goodbye, friend. Another friend made.
She's so glad she called.
Another friend made. There's something about her manner.
They were explorers. Now I picture Buzz. Now that I know what the story is, here's what I picture.
Hey, boys and girls, this is a radio station.
I picture, like, eight or nine girls, all of them looking like Heidi. Okay?
Yes.
Coming into his radio studio,
mm-hmm.
Buzz has got on like his hippie tank top, his puka shells, he's got his big afro, and he has on like athletic mesh shorts. And of course he has no underwear on underneath them.
Well, otherwise you'd be able to see
them. And he does like a Sharon Stone with them as he's sitting in front of them and says,
"Hi, kids."
Hi.
Oh, that's disturbing.
I'm Buzz.
Mr. Burbank, you bastard.
Welcome.
Wow.
This is where we broadcast.
Puka shells and a big afro. Buzz did have a big afro when he was younger.
Have you ever seen his wedding photo?
Oh, it's huge.
My God, his wedding photo is... Well...
Very 1970.
Yeah,
the afro.
Hello, kids.
I was going to say, it's one of the funniest things I've ever said, but that's not intended the way it came out. It's very dated in that you and Marcia both are going through that Brady Bunch, Bobby Sherman, whatever.
It was the end of the 60s, the start of the 70s. And
hippie phase, and Buzz has got, of course he's got like a tunic on.
That's right, you've been married how long?
130 years. this is a studio.
31 years.
The sound is better if we disrobe.
Buzz has, in his wedding photo, I've seen it, a tunic on.
Right.
And like white Jim Elliot slacks.
It's a Mexican, it's a Mexican wedding shirt and drawstring pants with sandals.
Hey, all right.
So, wow.
Didn't you get married on the beach or something like that?
Yeah, well, in a chapel, but then the reception was in a park nearby.
How is that before or after the photo we have of you upstairs?
That would be before. That would be before.
So that's a more conservative photo in your office?
The one that we have upstairs of Buzz? Yeah.
Oh, that's very... He's wearing a sport coat.
That's conservative, Buzz.
But nothing else. That's circa 81, I think, that photo.
The end of the 70s and the beginning of the 80s.
Right. The original hippie. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, can I talk to Don and Mike?
They're very busy. What do you need to talk to them about?
Oh, I wanted to tell them that the umpire that busted George Brett for Pine Tar was the same ump that was umpiring the other night.
Yeah, they knew that already.
Yep, they were aware of that.
They knew that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you?
Hi there.
What smart ashes.
Hi there.
You know, I was in scouts since I was a little kid. My dad was involved. And you know,
I love it when they call it scouting.
And I thought it was great, but the weirdest thing was, when I was in Cub Scouts, there was this one mother who didn't trust this one parent, or not parent, one of the troop leaders.
Okay.
A few years later, he got arrested for being a child molester.
Well, the mother was right on.
Did she pull her kid out of the troop?
No, she just wouldn't let him, in the Cub Scouts, or Weeblos, rather. You only went on like one camp out every 6 months or whatever.
Sure, because that's how
the
you
answer
do it.
Would be no.
That's how you do it. Once you find out a Cub Scout guy is touching your kid, you only let him go on the camp outs where he's going to be alone in the woods with a guy.
What could go wrong?
That's all you do.
The thing is, it wasn't until years later they found out that he was.
Yeah, but obviously he was so inclined, and the mother had a sixth sense about this.
Right, she did.
Not a sixth sense that was strong enough to say, he's not going camping.
She said, listen, I got a feeling, a mother's intuition, that this guy might be violating my child, so I'm only going to let him go on camping trips where he's in the middle of the woods.
Every month.
In the middle of nowhere. Every 6 months.
Every 6 months.
Only every 6 months. Will he come home with the red hiney?
Now, you were you in the Cub Scouts when this was going on?
Yeah, I was.
What did you think of the guy? Was the guy creepy?
No, to tell you the truth, the ones that weren't...
He was dreaming.
You get the impression, this guy called to volunteer this, but I'm feeling like we're not getting all the information.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm sorry. He was a volunteer who did not have a son in the scouts.
Right there to me. Red flag. Total red flag.
Red flag.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Red flag.
I agree. There was all the ones that didn't have kids in the troop, you always thought were a little creepy.
Right.
But, you know, they could have been somebody, you know, later on that, you know...
Okay, Spielberg's calling for you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
His mama named him Tommy. Folks just called him Yellow.
Yellow. Yellow hand.
I know we do, but now I think of that'd be a great country DJ name. What? Wolf 108. How you doing? This is Red Heine. Welcome to the Red Heine Get Together on a Thursday. Here's Kenny Rogers.
Everyone consider him the coward of the county.
I had another red name that I think would be really good. Big Red. The bobblehead. Hi, I'm Big Red. I'm the Big Red bobblehead. Big Red.
On a warm summer's eve. On a train bound for
the... The Red Roof bobblehead. I'm Red, the Red Roof bobblehead.
Red and Red in the morning. I'm Red Heine.
And I'm Big Red, Red the bobblehead.
You painted up your lips and rolled and curled.
We would play only Kenny Rogers.
Rogers music.
We'd only play the same ones over and over, like the three songs.
Good morning, I'm Red Honey.
And I'm Red, the Red Roof Bobblehead.
On a warm summer's eve.
You see, he has the same thing.
21 after the hour. I am Red Heine.
And I'm Reb, the Red Roof Bobblehead.
Here's Kenny Rogers for you.
Everyone considered him the coward of the county.
Be a wonderful, wonderful show.
Sure was.
Great show. I think people tune in every morning.
Sure would. 5 hours.
I'm Heine.
And I'm Bobblehead.
We're the Reds.
Join Heine and Bobblehead every single day, right here on Wolf 108.
Sounds real.
If you miss Heine and Bobblehead this morning, you miss... Hi, I'm Red Heine.
And I'm Red, the Red Roof Bobblehead. Here again is Kenny Rogers.
Everyone considered him the coward of the county.
What a great show. Heine and Bobblehead in the morning.
In the morning. In the morning.
You have to put the in the morning on top.
Play in the hits while you are spraying your piss. My name is Red Irritated Heine.
And I'm Red, the Red Roof Bobblehead.
We've had a lot of requests for this one. I'm Red Heine.
And I'm Red Bobblehead. Here again is Kenny Rogers.
Everyone considered him the coward of the county.
We got a break.
What's all this pine tar I hear?
I'll tell you what, no pine tar comes near Red Honey.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you that.
But, of course, I'm Red the Red Roof Bobblehead, and I'm made out of pine. I am. I'm wooden.
But not tar.
Not tar.
You got wood in my honey.
You got honey in my wood. Oh, wow. Oh, there it is, another violation.
We do have, isn't that right, Colin?
Yeah, we got a break.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Americans, this is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. Jacksonville, Florida. Chuck enjoys marijuana, so he decided to accept Paul Harvey's suggestion. He gave up. He went to the phone. He called me. He ordered a bong. Bong, that's a pipe used to smoke marijuana. I want you to hear this carefully because you're thinking about a Valentine's Day present for somebody you love very much. Quote, my marijuana bong arrived Saturday, and after I opened the box, I was in shock. My eyes were locked open wide. My whole house was now a concert hall. Quote, I'm listening to all of my old CDs again because I have never really heard them before. Quote, with heat eating your ears, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing and you've lost track of which way is out. There's a searing ember down your neck. Somebody's singed a kitten. Now, for that Valentine's Day gift, it's not too early for you to choose a bong. If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back. To locate your nearest dealer, telephone 1-800-BONG.
The Don and Mike Show.
Clap your hands, everybody.
But every time.
What it takes.
Every time.
Because I'm Curtis Blow, and I want that's you right. to know that these are the boys.
Come. Watch them dim the rose. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
This is Robert, the angry mailman for the Don and Mike Show.
Whoa, look out! Look out! Look out!
Where's the melody? Where's the melody, he says.
Melody!
We got the tapes of Larry King going on the drive-along program with the cops last night.
That was a good heads-up yesterday. I hope we enjoy them.
He doesn't give as much as we had hoped for.
Not as dull as he might have been.
Well, the one thing that you'll find with these tapes is that when we do our Larry to Larry segments...
Yes.
You're going to find out really how accurate we are.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. That's worth it, then.
A lot of it is like him talking to the gangbangers, you know. It's like being in prison, right? I mean, there's stuff like that happens.
It's
right?
Curious, Larry.
Curious. Very curious.
I'm curious.
Also, Rob, even though you're doing a very adequate job as our producer of the week, you should know that there's a beautiful lady in North Carolina who is still pining for your job.
Yep. Really?
Yep.
Really?
She misses us?
Well, I got a big envelope from Beth Ann McBride today. And inside was a copy of, I don't even, what is this? What magazine is this?
Us Weekly.
Us Weekly? I can't even tell. See,
you know,
says,
for my says, money, if you really want your magazine to be known, don't put a celebrity's head on top of it.
It says Weekly, and well, then underneath it, underneath Jennifer Lopez's head is okay. Covering up.
No, that's Gallery.
It's Swank.
It's We.
What is it, Rob?
It's Cherie.
Anyways, C-H-E-R-I.
Yes. Exactly.
So, get this one. Like, why would she send this? Like, inside J-Lo's baby nursery, right? So I open up and she's got a page that is...
A bookmark, yeah, dog-eared.
Yep, and it says, Don, Rob may have already found this.
Oh, that's her passive-aggressive thing.
Yes. But, just in case...
Yeah, just in case.
B-A.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did she talk about that when she was broadcasting?
Isn't she contacting you a lot lately?
No more than usual, Mike.
No more than usual?
No more than usual.
Just keep it in touch.
But really, Rob, how could you miss this? Because it's an article about Leah Remedy, a question and answer with Lisa Remedy. And the article is titled, Evil People Called Me Fat.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And it's about Leah Remedy, or as we call her, Lisa Remedy.
Yes.
And how she lost the weight that she gained with the baby. Says that she lost some of the weight, and it is incredibly Leah being Leah. Leah attempting to be the starlet that really, even though she had a nice run on King of Queens,
yeah.
Made a lot of dough on that. The show ain't even on the air anymore, right? That's one of those shows that they've got in their back pocket to put on when something else is canceled and they need
back.
To fill time. Mm-hmm. Well,
so she's being the diva again?
Yeah. She writes about, we don't have time for the whole thing. Just here are a couple of highlights that I picked up. Let me see, about her kids. Or rather, about her kid, her child.
Mm-hmm.
What do you love most about motherhood? Leah Remedy. The love, .. She says mom, because her nanny is British. She's only two, but everything's so fun right now.
She has to throw the nanny. I mean,
yeah.
Right away.
Yep.
Right away, you know, I have a nanny. That's her thing. That's her whole thing. That's where she comes from.
Here we go. Here's more. Do you and Kevin James work well together? Kevin has always been good at saying, hey, you should be rehearsing right now. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Who else keeps their co-stars in check like that? I don't think a lot of cats do. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
But then here's another one.
There.
Here's another one. This is really where Leah Remedy is really trying to jump out of the whatever star circle it is into a higher one.
No, that's why she's in the whole Scientology thing.
Tell us about your friendship with J-Lo.
All right.
And here's what she writes. Apparently, it's weird in Hollywood for people to just hang out. People are like, isn't that weird? Leah Remedy is hanging out with Jennifer Lopez. Why is that weird? I was friends with her husband, Mark Anthony. You know, the singer. They got married, and now we're all friends. I'm not going to say, hi, Mark, say hello to your wife. I shouldn't talk to her. People will talk.
Oh, God. Whatever.
We're more than friends.
Such a superstar.
Hold on. I understand her, and she understands me. We talk on the level of performers, and on the level as women. Thank you, Leah.
God,
thank
diva,
you, Leah.
Diva.
Thank you, Leah.
She's still doing the deep. When did she? You know, she used to way back when at least make an attempt at being funny.
Yeah, no.
Now she's believing her own press.
She didn't take herself seriously. That's what we really, really liked about her.
And now she does. And I mean, all these interviews, whenever you see her, even if it's the tour of the house, you know, it's like one of the lemons. You know, just no effort being made to be funny.
Okay. Was there any point you thought about giving up? People were calling me fat. Evil people on websites. I thought, this is not my body. After having a baby, people say things change. You don't realize it. But you're looking at Pam Anderson, and you're thinking, well, her body didn't change. She didn't look like she had two kids. Even Britney Spears was walking around with those little shorts on. I was like, what the hell? Apparently, I'm a fat actress. But who do you know on TV who had a baby that stays normal size? Name me one woman. There are none.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Nobody.
Lucy.
Hold on. Nobody who's pregnant on television has ever looked fat except me. And wow. I felt this enormous pressure. Really? Here's the pressure.
She is right. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, because usually it's a little different. You know, you don't see that happen.
Well, no, here's the thing.
Because, I mean, and after she had the kid, normally
that's
these actresses
do. That's when she got fatty is after she had the kid.
And after she had the kid, normally these actresses bust their ass and lose. And everybody knows how hard they work. And it's not, you know, it's not normal. Leah didn't seem to drop it that quickly.
Too busy with the nanny and too busy with her friend J-Lo. And of course, her other friend, the recording star, Mark Anthony.
Right.
And how could she possibly call Mark Anthony up without saying hi to J-Lo? Because they can talk as performers and as women.
Yeah, it's just a hang. They just want to hang out.
Because I'm sure Jennifer Lopez really wants to know what it's like working on King of Queens.
Yeah. What's Jerry Stiller really like?
Don't forget, she also took the time to issue the press release saying that Tom Cruise had a beautiful baby.
Yes.
When no one had seen the baby.
I think what she's doing is she's aligning herself with some of these superstars.
Yeah.
So that it'll help her stock rise a little bit. Who knows what the future holds
for
her.
Hold on, she doesn't need that. Hold on a second. That's another part of this article. For goodness sakes. What did I... Yeah, that's why Beth Ann put the thing in there.
Magazine?
It's got some... Hey, come on. Did she come up with something we're using on the show?
She did.
Thank you, Kong.
I wonder how things are working for her down there. Is there a book there this week? Because that's a tasty gig.
And then a little note. Don't forget a little note.
Of course not.
I'm sure Rob found this, but...
Hold on. I make lots of money in short amount of times.
Uh-huh.
I make lots of money in very short amount of times. That's what it says.
Wow.
It's weird grammatically.
I'm damn good.
Hey. Thanks for reminding us, Leah.
And remember that.
Well, she doesn't have to work anymore.
And the headline is...
Right? I mean, because she's got the whole syndication thing. She's fine.
But the syndication thing now... is not what it was even 10 years ago. You're not seeing people...
Well, it does. It basically depends on the deal they do get for the show
and
syndication.
And I believe that the deal that King of Queens had, the killer deal that they have with the WB or whatever network it is...
$9 an episode.
Right. It's not like Jerry Seinfeld where they're paying like $5 million an episode.
Exactly.
It's so sad when something so great goes unrewarded.
Like King of Queens.
Like the King of Queens. Mm-hmm.
King of Queens, that marvelous show that was on probably 8 years longer than it should have been.
As my grandfather called it, King of.
How long was it on? Was it on about 5 years?
I think it was either 8 or 9 years.
Was it really on 8 or 9 years?
8 or 9 goddamn years.
And then remember...
Can we tell the truth now that we... You know, look, it was exciting for us to be associated with a television show. It was delightful to go on and be extras on her television show. I always just... hated the fact that I thought the show sucked. Hated that.
I've always thought it's bright, original, well written,
right,
well acted, a laugh riot.
Don't you think there was time, like in the second or third season, when it flirted with being okay?
Not really.
Yeah, no, I think there was a moment. There were some moments, like with Jerry Stiller, at the beginning, where I thought it had a lot of potential. But it always went down the traditional sitcom-y road.
It's the CBS formula.
You know, right.
Fat guy, hot chick, except what happens when the chick gets to be fatter than the guy.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what happened on King of Queens. You know what? Why don't you be proactive and put a call into Leo?
Okay.
And just, you know, because I know you tried before, right?
Right.
To say that we want to do... Mm-hmm. It really sounds like we're extending the olive branch.
Uh-huh.
But... Except
we'd completely turn around and begin to
be
conciliatory again.
We would not take it from her though, like
we wouldn't
before.
Take it. And you know what? And she won't contact.
But still,
us.
I like if she wants to get on the air and talk about how she lost 80 pounds and she's friends with J-Lo, I'd let her do that and then.
We'd extend that. I mean, we did. The truth is, look, I can say that about the show. I can also say that there was a time when we had a lot of fun with Leah Remini. There really was. There was a lot of time at the very beginning of that, and then it slowly but surely
went downhill. Why that was fun for her? Because you and I were just ass-kissing
Gaga.
To the nth degree, and even worse...
Yeah, we were.
Hold on. Even worse, you and I, even though we knew nothing's ever going to happen, we always competed for her affection.
Yeah. Yeah,
wasn't
absolutely.
It true?
Sure.
You your way, me my way.
Yeah.
Like, when we were out there, it's like, okay, Mike made her laugh. Well,
right.
I'm going to have to sit and be deep with her for a little while.
Uh-huh.
So I would sit and talk with her for a while. Then you would come in the room.
Yeah, you got a little carried away with it, though.
Well, I was just him.
I was the winner.
As soon as it became a competition. That's
yeah. I was the winner. I slept in her house.
There was no way. You were Bull, there is no way that you were letting me anywhere near that situation. But I also, at a certain point, I didn't want to stay over. I didn't want to do that. You wanted to.
That's something people should
know. I love the fact that, like, when we'd hang out, you know when I loved it? When we'd, like, hang out and go to a restaurant somewhere. That was fun. That's what I really enjoyed. But as far as the actual, you won. Hands down, blew me out of the arena because I wouldn't have wanted. You knew I didn't dig that kind of idea about like staying over. And once you made that commitment that you set that up where, hey, I'd love to stay at this, you're like, sure, and I'm like,
stay
wow.
at her house,
you know,
spend the night at her
house.
There
was no chance that I was going to compete with that, none.
And I will give her credit.
And we weren't competing for her affection in a
no. I mean,
you want to? Although at the very beginning she was a very hot.
Oh yeah.
I mean she gets herself in shape. She's still a very hot.
Even when I and I was creepy to the creepiest extent, wanting to go out there and stay at her house. I mean, she would at the time even get on the phone occasionally with Frida, say, "Your husband's kind of weird," you know, because. Let me also say, I didn't just go out there to stay at her house.
Right.
It was one of the times that she was gracious enough to give me a speaking role on that show.
Right.
Right? So they taped on a Friday. I had to leave on Saturday.
Right.
And I kind of pushed the issue like, hey, if we're really friends, why don't you have me stay at your house?
Yeah, you did that on the air, and it was very, very unique.
And then off the air, she called Frida and said, what's the deal? Does your husband really want to stay at my house? He's nuts like that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He really does. Not because he wants to, like, attack you or because he wants to stalk you. He's just weird like that. He wants to talk about it on the radio, how he spent the night in your house.
All right. Do you agree, though?
It was an awful night. I remember.
Don't you think the whole situation, the whole scenario really was a little awkward? It's probably awkward for her. It's awkward for us.
Yeah.
I always thought it was
me staying at her house?
No,
with her
being
involved with
every aspect of it.
Yeah.
I was never comfortable. Ever comfortable. I always thought
no one
that it was odd. It was not sincere. I don't know. You know, and she'd probably say the opposite, but I just felt like we were using her and she was using us, and it was just kind of a weird...
Mm-hmm.
There was just no, there was nothing there, I thought.
No.
You know?
But, you know, to be honest, there was nothing there on our part either.
Yeah.
I mean, as disingenuous as we now know she was,
we were too.
Because the truth is, even while we were kissing her ass on the air, on Monday nights we'd get on the phone with each other and go, God, this show really, really is not funny. We used to say that Still Standing was funnier.
We were whispering about it one time when we were both doing the extra thing on that show. We were actually going, oh, God.
This really is not fun.
Because we were there one day. What were we there for? 8 hours?
What
some amazing amount of time.
What amazing dicks we are. No wonder she's not our friend anymore. What jerks we are.
Well, but the thing is, did she ever want to be our friend?
Here's the thing. She wanted...
The whole TV star thing got in the way of that.
She wanted... She liked the fact that there was a creepy disc jockey who she could trust, who she wanted... You know, she wanted...
There was a line in the movie of Truth or Dare with Madonna where I think Warren Beatty says to Madonna, you live with the camera. You can't function without the camera in front of you. Leah, I think, was a similar person. She loved being on all the time. She loved having the microphone. She loved having the camera. She liked doing it.
As much as I loved...
That's why she does all these interviews.
As much as I loved staying at her house, talking about it, even though it was like being in a gulag somewhere, I imagine, loved it in the same way that she could say to her friends, hey, do you know how famous I am? There's some schmuck disc jockey from the East Coast who I gave a walk-on role onto the show, and now, he's going to spend the night tonight. I'm going to put him down in the guest room.
Like you were a conversation piece.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. I think that might be true. I think that at the very beginning... I don't know, man. I it's difficult, really. In fairness to her, I don't like to crawl inside of somebody else's head. And I'd love to know what the real motivation, and I would love to know at any point, you know, was there any kind of, you know, friendship there. I didn't really
feel it. There was friendship. I bet you thought we were friends because, like I said a million times, all we did was kiss her ass. Mm. Sometimes you'd be on the show for like 2 hours, and we would be going through the celebrity Rolodex trying desperately to impress her.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we were.
I mean, we did that.
Yeah, and our listeners told us that, too.
Oh,
that
yeah.
We were behaving like asses.
We get the calls.
Well, you know, we liked that little taste of that, and we figured that was maybe an entree into, you know, doing more stuff, and it wasn't.
Stupid us.
It was.
Dumb, effing, stupid us.
I mean, all things considered,
stupid me.
I had a hell of a lot more fun doing the extra stuff on the sci-fi show than I did...
Babylon 5, Mike.
Much more fun. Much more
stupid.
Yeah, much more just watching TV being made and stuff.
You're not staying at your house. I'll tell you the one good thing, though, and I'll give her credit for being honest in this regard. When she got up in the morning,
yeah,
she didn't have any makeup on.
She looked like hell.
I saw Puffy Leah
right
walking around, and I realized, boy, this must be what it's like.
She kept it real.
To be with a TV lady.
Right.
Because in real life...
Well, she was also learning the whole I am a TV star thing, too.
Yeah, it was new to her.
She was learning that. She was brand new to it.
Anyway, thanks. Well, look at that. Beth Ann just gave us an entire segment. How about that, Rob? How about that? You know what? I'm going to call her.
And like a lover's scorn, we're still never going to get completely over Leah.
No, you never will.
I'm sure BA is doing her show now. We just leave her some voicemail.
You never get over your first TV star.
No, you don't, Buzz.
Is she our first, though?
I tell you, she's the first I ever spent the night at a house with.
Mm-hmm.
We have a more meaningful relationship with Dick Van Patten.
Been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Beth Ann McBride.
Is not available.
Baby.
To page this person, press 5 now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished,
you know what'll kill her?
Hang up or press 1 for more options.
You're really upset that she's trying to get her job back.
Hey, Beth Ann, it's Rob. Listen, we got that article from OK Magazine. We had it a week ago. All right, thanks very much for putting your nose in it and trying to get your job back, but we're doing just fine, okay? Thanks.
You are satisfied with your message.
Yes.
Press 1
nice
to listen to your message. Press
out
2 to erase and re-record.
I want to hear it.
3
hear
to
it.
Continue your message review.
Trying to get her job back. Hey, Beth Ann, it's Rob. Listen,
we should do it one more time.
Yeah, without, can we erase it?
Yes,
can we erase it without me talking?
Yeah.
A week ago. All right, thanks very much.
Re-record it.
Putting your nose in it and trying to get your job back, but we're doing just fine.
And be sincere with it.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record.
Yeah.
Press 3, message erase. At the tone, please re-record your message. At the end of your message, press 1.
Hey, Beth Ann, it's Rob. Listen, we got your article from OK Magazine about Leah, and appreciate it. We already had it, of course. There's really no need for you to continue to try to get your job back and take my job away from me. We're doing just fine. So thanks a lot. Continued input, always appreciated. Have a good day.
You are satisfied with your message.
Right, can we listen
press
to it again?
1 to listen to your message.
Now.
Press 2 to erase and re-
I'll hear how real Rob
press
sounds.
3 to message review.
Hey, Beth Ann, it's Rob. Listen, we got your article from OK Magazine about Leah and... appreciate it. We already had it, of course. There's really no need for you to continue to try to get your job back and take my job away from me. We're doing just fine. Thanks a lot. Continued input, always appreciated. Have a good day.
It's good.
Yeah, that is like
good. That's real.
With your message, press 1 to send your message with normal delivery. Press 1 to send your message with urgent delivery. Press 2.
You
thank you. Your message has been sent.
I'll bring
goodbye
in the email tomorrow.
You get a phone call on that one. You won't get an email.
She's not a big caller.
I say you get a phone call.
No, you know, I get the phone call tonight.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there
that's
you go.
How you'll know.
Donnie wins.
That is how you'll know.
Donnie wins.
No, you know what? She'll already know. This is why we shouldn't do this on the radio.
She'll know because somebody will call her and let her know.
Someone will email her already and tell her that she's been on the show today.
Maybe not.
We'll see.
Or maybe... Maybe during a commercial, she'll just go check her voicemail.
Yeah. We can only hope. I hope, I can't ask people not to give her the heads up. It'll be funny. If she gets that message without
Anybody hipping her to it, she'll know.
The magic of that was, we heard it, Rob doing it over the microphones, looking at his face. You had to hear it over a telephone.
Yes, right.
And then it does sound like Rob really might have a slow burn going.
It does. It does sound legit. Mm-hmm. Well, we can only hope. We'll let you know. We'll let you know what's happening.
Almost as if it came from his heart.
Yeah, wasn't it like, wasn't it almost like real? That was good acting, wasn't it?
All right, Rob. Now, listen, the battle continues here when we come back. The battle between smart Charlie and good old Charlie.
Wow. And as I always hope, healthy Charlie.
The X Factor.
I always hope now.
Well, based on...
I never know until Charlie arrives what state of health he's going to be
based on your blog. let me see. You should be okay.
I should be.
You only OD'd with
cookies
last night.
Chocolate chip cookies.
And I read your blog, and your blog is outstanding.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I read
that.
Your entire blog.
You know, I just, you know...
It made me feel like a fourth grader.
Why?
Really? Because I write, you know, Packers win. Redskins lose. I had chili and farted. You know, Mike writes, here's what's wrong with politics. Everyone should get involved. I mean, it's our kids we're talking about. Really, I'm not busting your balls.
I know. I take that as a compliment.
It's an outstanding blog.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow I'll be writing about boogers. Picking them, eating them, enjoying them.
And putting them in salad dressing.
But like me, I'm not good for many more of those, you know. There's just so many things I can talk about that I care about without really pissing people off.
All right, so how was your health last night? How's your Charlie?
Well, the health last night is fine. It's early to bed, little football late last night. But other than that, you know,
Charlie
to bed, what a day.
Charlie voice?
I think, you know, the way it is with Charlie,
yeah.
we have to see how he does when he gets here.
Okay.
Find out. There's no other way. I could sit there and talk about it, and I could do it and fake it, but no, we'll see what happens.
And Kong, what huge name have you put for the Charlie interview today?
Barney Smith.
And what is it that Barney Smith is hawking?
He is an 85-year-old gentleman, former plumber, who makes art out of toilet seats.
Very, very good.
All right.
Charlie will like that.
Charlie
a lot.
Will like that. And I spoke to Charlie before the show.
Okay, yes. Yes. And yeah. Charlie was feeling very excited about it.
I'd say it's a good coin flip.
Should be interesting. Beth Ann would have gotten a better guest, though.
That's true, but you would have hated her while she did it.
I never hated her.
I know.
Only you did.
Right. Everyone loved Beth Ann, except Rob. Can we break, please?
Yeah.
I like this lingering.
Yeah,
this awkward lingering is kind of
maybe
fun.
Maybe because I didn't hate Beth Ann.
No,
I didn't. Hate Beth Ann.
Everybody, well, didn't, wasn't that the press we all got? Is that I had a problem with her, and I had absolutely no problem with her.
I know
her.
She never drove you crazy.
Wow.
Okay. Don't back me in a corner, boy.
I don't. I just want us to break.
I had a little trouble.
Buzz, you didn't have any problem with her at all.
You had no problem with her, Buzz.
No.
Joe got along better with her than anybody, right?
She didn't like Joe when he farted. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
Joe's the only one she had sex with.
That's true.
So, right. I guess that means Joe's the big winner.
But what is sex?
Ah, Beth Ann.
Yeah. Mm. Sweet B.A. Yeah, those corduroys.
Yeah.
Those gold corduroys.
And her curlers.
That's right. Don't forget when she would wear her curlers to work because we had something to do after the work. And there was a big, like, orange juice can curlers.
Yeah.
The old curlers.
Jesus Christ.
She was there at the office every day, 5:45.
She was, seriously.
Hey, call her up and ask her if she wants her job back.
Okay.
Good. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull, bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown them. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
There he goes.
Somebody wants
the enemies of Whatnot. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
We hate Whatnot. Look it up. Email us anytime you want. Go to our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. We've got some blogs there. Mike the Intellectual has written his. And next will be Buzz the Podhead.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Need yours sometime there, Buzz.
Good luck trying to make it out.
Maybe you could write about some of those experiences you had about with the young girls.
Do you know that Buzz told me? Am I allowed to repeat this?
I guess so. Sure.
Is it the same thing you told me?
Yeah. Do you think?
The very first time that Buzz experienced brown sugar was when he was with the explorers.
Very close in age to the explorers.
Yes.
And
yes.
Very a learning experience that you had.
A learning experience. A lot of exploring.
I'm sure.
Did you ever visit that type of sexual activity again?
Yes. Yes,
wow.
I did.
Got a badge.
You know what they say. Yeah. You got a badge in it?
Yeah.
Once you go black, you never go back. Yes.
Hello there, Buzz.
Hi.
My name is Tyrene. I'm 18, and you are gorgeous.
Well, thank you, Tyrene.
Come over here and take me, you white devil.
Do you remember the name?
I don't.
Oh, sadly, I don't.
It's a shame that he's killed so many cells.
I remember just about everything else, though.
Really?
The important stuff.
Such as what, Buzz?
Well, how pleasant it all was.
Where it took place?
Yeah, all that.
Did you have your counselor uniform on?
No, there were no uniforms. Was it in a motor vehicle? There were no uniforms.
When you started it, did you have your counselor uniform?
No, one had uniforms.
Was it in a motor vehicle?
Yes.
Well, you know, he was kind of ambiguous about that. That was kind of,
one of the times.
Well, I was in my RV.
Hey, Charlie.
What are you guys talking about? What are you talking about?
We're talking about Buzz having sex.
No, I thought so.
Hey, Buzz.
Don't talk about that no more.
Okay, after you had sex with her, did you enjoy orange or grape soda?
Neither, what does that mean?
As I recall.
I don't get it.
That's a stereotype.
Charlie's here. Where's Charlie's song? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, I didn't know.
Let's just sing this song for all of my friends.
I didn't know which.
All my buddies.
Charlie was coming in today.
All the people that have written me emails.
Yes.
When you start to act like Charlie, and you start to think like Charlie,
I now know.
Come and join the Charlie people.
Let me say this.
I want a blog. I want a blog, Don.
Charlie?
What's a blog?
You can't fool a faker. You can't BS a BSer.
What do you mean?
You are smart, Charlie, pretending to be the old Charlie.
Oh, I am.
I knew it.
Guilty. Wow. Hello, Don.
I knew it. Hello, Charles.
Let's take a seat, shall we?
Thank you for playing the role.
Oh, boy. Don't let me play poker with you anytime soon.
Well, hold on.
Hello, Rob. Buzz.
What is it?
Hi, John.
Charles.
Johnny Norman.
Charles.
Right back at you, Johnny. Yeah.
Is that Brooke Brothers you're wearing today?
Yes.
Brooke Brothers?
Nice. Yeah, brand new. Thank you for appreciating it.
Thanks
so much.
When you don't come in with
Nobody else around this building will do that. Duh.
When you don't come in with your straw hat and your overalls on.
I know. I get tired of playing that character. I really do. Oh, I'm so bored with everything lately. I really am. It's a boring time of the year.
How's the Benz?
It's great. Just got it tuned up. It's doing beautifully. I love that car. You know, it's a 1989, but it runs like it's brand new.
Oh, I know what I want to ask you, Charlie.
I should point out, though, in the true Charlie tradition, I am barefoot. I'm wearing no shoes, no socks. Look,
yes, but they're right outside.
There they are.
But they're right outside the door, like if you were
eating. Yes, my hard shoes and my socks. My hard shoes and my socks, though.
You know what I wanted to ask you?
Yes, ask away.
How was the movie Marie Antoinette with Kirsten Dunst?
You know, when I go to see anything that's a period piece, I really like it to be historically accurate, and they take so many liberties, so many artistic liberties with the cast, with the writing, with the dialogue. It was not true to form. And I've done so much study on that era of the French and the Revolution, and I just found it disingenuous, the whole piece. I found it plodding.
May I speak
very
with...
Very plodding.
May I speak with... Now, let me just show what a fantastic showman this guy is.
Yeah.
Your other side?
Well, you know what you have to do.
Oh, I feel...
You have to hit me in the head with a frying pan.
Oh, got you. Hey, Charlie.
Charlie. Good to see you. Okay. Good to see you and you and you. How are you, boys?
Are you ready for the Charlie interview?
Yes, I am. What are we doing today, Don?
It's some guy named Barney Smith, and he has...
Barney Smith!
He
makes toilet art!
Toilet seat art.
Toilet lids! You're not supposed to make art out of them. You're supposed to sit on them. I like sitting on toilets. I don't like painting them.
If you think about it, you do paint them, Charlie.
You do. You're talking about poop.
With your BM.
Poop. BM.
Hey, Charlie.
Charlie had a big BM.
Did you have a nice BM today?
I don't want to talk about
that. It's Barney.
Hello.
Hello there.
Is this Barney Smith?
That's me.
Hi, Barney. I'm Charlie Stewang Stablack, and you're on the Charlie interview. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
Let's find out all about your toilet seat.
I want to tell you about the toilet seat. Have you got my computer pulled up there on the...
Yeah, website? Sure, whatever, yeah. Hey, can you say hey, Charlie?
Unusual music.
Hey, Barney, can you say hey, Charlie?
I'm sorry, I can't understand.
Can you say hey, Charlie? Barney, can you hear me?
I just barely can. Let me get on another telephone.
Get on another phone, Barney Smith.
I've got
on another phone, Mr. Toilet Art.
I can tell you that's in the character. Hey, Charlie.
Yes, Don.
Did you have a nice BM today?
Yes, don't talk about that. We're talking about toilets. Are you there, Barney?
Okay, now.
Hello.
I'm on another telephone.
Hi, Barney. Barney, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Barney Smith, you're 85, right?
I'm 85 years old.
That is so old. That is so old.
I have got my birthday cards on a toilet seat from the time I was 70 years old this year. And I haven't even got time to put my 85, but I've got...
At the orphanage, there were no toilet seats.
Hanging up.
Just wooden holes. That's all we had. Hello?
Yes?
Hello?
Hello?
How are you?
Doing fine.
I'm going to ask you some questions now. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Question number one. Do you sell the toilet seats for profit?
I do not sell. I haven't sold one.
Okay, question number two.
Shocker.
Are you ready, Barney?
Yes.
Question number two. Which do you enjoy more, pie or chicken?
Okay, I can understand which you deserve.
No, we'll start again.
Enjoy.
We'll start. Barney,
yes.
Over here. Barney, we're going to start again. You ready? Which do you like more, pie or chicken?
Pie or chicken?
Yes.
I like chicken better than the pie.
Yes.
Yes.
Very, very good. All right, question number three. Are you ready?
Okay.
What flavor of ice cream do you like?
I like the chocolate. Better than the vanilla.
What, do you like anything besides that? That's boring.
I think he likes the flavor called, breathing. Hey, Charlie, you want to take a call?
Did you fight the Japanese? Barney, did you fight the Japanese in World War II?
No. In fact, I...
Did you fight the Hun? The Hun? The Nazi Hun?
I only had...
Oh, God.
It, I did not pass the
Barney,
examination.
Barney, I got another question. How many toilet seats do you have decorated?
800.
Charlie?
800, Don!
Time for a phone call.
800, Don! Time for a phone call.
My 800th birthday, my 86th birthday will go on number 800.
Okay. Right. Okay, hold on. Hey, Barney, we got a phone call. You ready? Hello, this is the Charlie Stewart Stavelak Show. You're on with Charlie and Barney Smith, a man that paints toilet seats. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Dom! Hello, Dom.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Tom, say hi to Barney.
Hello there.
Say, Barney, say hi to Tom.
Howdy.
Hello.
Howdy.
Tom?
Yes?
Use your real voice and say hi to Barney Smith.
Hi, Barney Smith.
Hello, Tom.
Okay, Tom. Out of time. Gotta go.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Hey, Don.
You were tardy.
Yeah. Hey, what? Where's Don?
Don's right here.
Don.
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
I was talking to...
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
We're all here. John's imitating me.
Did you have a nice BM?
This is the most fun I've ever had doing Charlie on a show.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Tom.
Guess what I'm having for lunch.
What do you have for lunch, Tom?
Guess what I have for dinner.
What do you have for dinner?
I'm having chicken livers.
Chicken livers? Ew. Ew, those are gross. Yeah. Have a nice BM. Have
a nice BM, Tom.
Retard food.
Retard food. Chicken livers make you slow. Make you slow as molasses.
Charlie.
Charlie.
This is Charlie.
Hey, Tom, you need some brain food, like Pop-Tarts. Or Frosted Flakes. All the big old brain food. Barney, you still there?
I'm still there, but there's too much giggling going on.
Too much giggling.
Giggling. Stop giggling.
Hey, Barney.
To hang up my
Barney, phone. Don't hang up.
Don't hang up, sir.
Don't hang up. Stop. Don't hang up, okay?
Hi, sir. My name is Don. I'm sorry. I'm charging this. Everyone's gotten out of control.
La, 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 la. There was a farmer who had a dog, and Bingo was his name.
B-I-N-G-O,
and Bingo was his name. Oh. How you doing, Barney?
I'm doing all right, but there's too much.
This is Charlie.
Hey, Barney. Will you send me a toilet seat, please?
Like a bunch of drunk Indians.
This is
drunk Indians.
Grown up Charlie.
We're all doing the tomahawk chop. Hey, Barney.
Charlie.
Hi, Don.
Charlie.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Barney.
Hey, Barney.
Shut up, Tom.
Okay.
Hey, Barney.
Hello there.
Will you send me a toilet seat that's decorated?
I would decorate one and hang in the museum.
No. I want one, Barney. I want one. Please send one to me.
I don't sell them.
No, I don't want to buy it. I want you to give it to me. Sell it to me,
Charlie,
please.
Charlie, your intellect now is slipping through.
Away. I gave Montel Williams one because he spent several thousand dollars in sending me and my daughter to New York.
Montel is the only white man that's ever made me moist.
Mike Douglas.
Mike Douglas.
Only man ever made me wife.
Hi, Charlie.
Charlie.
What are
you doing? Hello.
I'm just
screwing
around.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Hello.
I would not want a copy of this on a CD to play in my museum.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
Is in there.
What's the problem, Barney?
Charlie?
The problem?
Yes, I'm right here.
Drop the facade. Lay your intellect on him.
Hit him with your intellectual hammer.
Hit me with the frying pan, otherwise I can't do it. Hello, Barney.
Showman.
Barney, are you there?
I'm here.
Barney, I apologize for all this frivolity. I really do. We're so sorry.
Well,
I'm very, very sorry. Can we do a serious interview?
In London, England,
yes.
He asked me if I had...
Barney, please, sir. Good, sir.
Barney.
Good, sir. Listen to learn. Learn to listen.
Charles.
You're not a good listener, Barney. I have to be honest with you.
Well,
you're rambling away, and we're trying to do a serious interview about your product.
Well, I wanted to talk about my toilet museum. I didn't want to talk about
it. I understand, sir. I understand, sir, what you wanted to talk about. I understand exactly what you wanted to talk about. We were having a little sketch, a little play, because it was a silly subject of decorating toilet seats. We found it to be amusing. There's nothing wrong with being amused, is there now, Bonnie? Is there anything wrong with being amused? Really?
No, the only thing is that this sounds like a bunch of cut up.
We cut up a bunch of kids. Well,
there.
Then you know something? I plead guilty. We cut up and we have tomfoolery and hijinks. It abounds on this show. We have fun. Don't you understand what fun is? In your 85 years, have you never had fun, sir?
I've had a lot of fun, but whenever it gets down to the nitty-gritty...
What's the nitty-gritty? Tell me what the nitty-gritty is, Barney. You seem to have a real handle on it. You seem to have a handle on what the nitty-gritty is. Enlighten me. Enlighten me, good sir. Hello?
Yeah, I'm getting ready.
Old-timer,
have never been a drunken Indian. Let me just say that. I have never been a drunken Indian, Barney.
What is your nitty-gritty?
Sound like a Halloween party.
Of course it is. Every day is a party. We amuse. We entertain. That's the job. Barney, why are you having such difficulty with this concept?
I wanted you to send me a T-shirt with your caller on it there.
You will get, sir, good
so
sir, good sir, you will get your T-shirt if you send us a toilet seat.
You stop hitting your forehead with the telephone, please.
If you send us a T-shirt, if you send us a toilet seat, we shall send you a T-shirt.
That is our final offer, sir.
That is the final offer. Take it or leave it.
Well, I'm going to leave it.
Yeah, well, you leave it. That I say you are not an artist. You're a fraud. You're a fraud. And you should be exposed as such.
Are you on the airwaves
yes.
now?
Yes. Yes, I'm on the air. Millions are hearing my voice as we speak, good sir.
Oh,
my name is Charles Stuang Stabilak, Rhodes Scholar.
I'm down in San Antonio to where that I'd have to listen to it every day.
Pardon me. I do not expect, good sir, to sit here and be insulted by you. You're insulting me and my listening audience, and I find that distasteful, highly distasteful, no matter that you are elderly.
Then I guess that I better hang up then.
Hold well, on, if you want to hang up, that is your choice, huh?
Oh, ah!
Why are you being so on me? Barney! Barney!
Barney!
Barney!
Barney!
Barney's being mean!
Barney!
Barney's being mean!
Hey, old-timer, come on, Barney.
Hello? Hello?
Barney.
Barney.
Hey, Barney.
Barney, why are you being so mean?
Hey, Charlie.
Don't be mean.
I can't hear all the beeping and the...
That, the beeping is on your end, sir.
It's on your end.
Charlie, did you have a nice BM today?
Yeah. Yeah! Hello there, Barney.
You think this man had a nice BM?
No way, Jose. Probably dusty.
You mean to tell me all of that's going off on the air?
Yes, it is. Yes, come it on. Is. Have come some on. Fun. Come on. Do you like pizza?
Oh.
Do you like pizza?
Well, I had rather talk about my toilet seat.
And I
want to
talk about pizza, please.
I don't want to talk about pizza.
Come on, talk about pizza. Can you say, I love you, Charlie? Say, I love you, Charlie.
What I need to do.
Come on.
What was Moses like?
Don't be an old stick in the mud.
So, what was Moses like? Back in the day.
Somebody you know, that you can have fun with.
Yes, we're having fun. Do you like pizza or not?
We would like to send you some chicken. Would you like some Kentucky Fried Chicken, sir?
Would you like some chicken? Would you?
I have got dog food on the toilet seat.
That's funny. Now I'm laughing.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Now I'm laughing.
Why do you have dog food on your toilet seat?
I have got dog food. I've got a picture of a dog that was an eye-seeing dog that actually died, and they sent me its obituary.
I got a great question.
All right, Charlie.
It's obituary.
I got the best question
ever. All right, here we go. Best question
ever.
This
is the best question. You ready for my question, Barney?
Yes, sir.
Barney.
Yes.
Barney, do you have any dog do on the toilet seat?
Dog do is funny. Dog do is funny.
Do you?
I really don't know that I need to answer the question.
Why not?
I've got a piece of the Berlin Wall if you want to know about it.
What's that?
If you want to know.
That's where the Nazis were, Charlie.
Concentration camp barbed wire that's around the.
You're scaring me now.
Hold on
a second there, old timer. How are we going from toilet seats to concentration camps?
I have even got some of the ash from St. Helens on a toilet seat.
Helen!
I have got a piece
of the
shovel. I
asked you to keep the children quiet today. And for Christ's sake, keep them out of the garden.
I got it on a toilet seat. So I'm more serious than what this program is.
Hey, Barney.
I believe so. You're
Barney.
Talking about...
Sure.
Barney,
about,
do you like me?
You're talking about pieces of the Berlin Wall on Twitter.
Can I ask you...
Cutting up...
Hey, Barney. Barney.
Yes?
Do you like me?
Do I like you?
Barney.
You like me. Charlie Stuang Stabilak.
You have to like him.
Do you like me?
He's likable, isn't he?
Well... I'm too old for all of the cut-up that is going on.
I know that, but I got to ask you something really from my heart. From my heart, from the bottom of my heart, do you like me?
I don't know that I don't like the attitude.
Right, but do you like me?
All
please.
Of the laughing and
do you like
do
Charlie?
Do you like me?
You like Charlie, sir.
This is a more serious music.
Do you like
yes,
me?
Yes, it's very serious, the fact that you make toilet seats with you, art on them. That's very serious.
But do you like me, Barney? Do you like Charles Duane Sabalat? Do you like me?
Museum.
Come on! Come on! Little slice of heaven! Little slice of heaven! Little slice, little slice, little slice of heaven! Do you like me? Please say yes.
I can't say yes.
Will you join
you
me?
You can't say yes.
Will you join
then
me?
Then I don't like you.
Will you join me for a picnic at Forest Lawn Cemetery?
Top of the world, Barney. Top of the world.
I'm sorry that I've got to hang up and do something else. I've spent a lot of
what is that, wipe?
Waiting for this call, and I thought that someone
can you
would
say,
appreciate talking to me
can
about
you say,
this
I love you, Charlie.
Museum.
Can you say, I love
but
you,
they,
Charlie?
This is an old timer.
Do not.
Hold on, please. Can you say, I love you, Charlie?
You are full of piss and vinegar and good for you, but old timer.
Well,
slow down. Slow down. And would you just say,
I love you, Charlie?
Would you just say that?
I don't want to say that.
Please say that, please.
Please,
sir.
I thought that you were going to talk about a toilet seat museum that I'm...
We sure, have. We
that's,
have.
That's how we really want to fill time on our radio
show. We'll say,
show.
Go... I, if you, you say... To, if you, you say... Barney!
You know about
Barney! Barney!
You know what?
Barney, if you say, I love you, Charlie, I will say, go to the toilet seat museum.
I don't even...
That's the bargain, sir.
I could read you some of the letters that...
Hey, you know what, pal, when I'm elected king, you're going to be in one of my work camps. Excuse me, leisure camps.
Hello, Barney.
I've got...
I'm going to take your driver's license away immediately.
Barney.
Well...
You have no driving
Barney.
Privileges right now.
John, canceling. I just want him to say I love you,
I
Charlie.
I'm canceling any driving
I just
privileges.
Want him to say I love you, Charlie.
I've never heard...
With your big junior soprano glasses?
Hello.
That is cutting up like...
We're cut up.
Hey, old man.
Hey, hey, I heard something the other day that I really believe.
What's
no
that?
Cut and run.
Well,
don't cut and run.
What's wrong with cutting up? Don't you remember the old days? Benny, Burl.
I've been to The View in New York.
The View.
The View.
Joy Behar is a fat ass.
They have...
Joy Behar is a fat ass.
Let's take another call here on the Charlie Show.
Hello.
I feel like...
Hello.
Charlie Show.
Charlie.
Hi.
Hi, Charlie.
Is this Tom again?
Yep.
Hello, Tom. Charlie's here with Tom. Why don't you talk to Barney, Tom?
Hi, Barney.
Yes, Tom.
How you doing?
All right, but I'll talk to you as long as you want to know about the Toilet Seat Museum.
Get him to say I love you, Charlie, Tom.
We're going
to
step out here.
Get him to say I love you, Charlie.
Go ahead, Tom.
I know
Toilet Seat, what museum is it?
I've got 800 toilet seats in my museum.
Wow.
None of them are for sale.
Where?
They're to be looked at.
Give one to me.
No. Charlie?
Yeah. What, Tom? Sorry.
I'm in San Antonio, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, what's,
The skies at
what?
Night are big
Charlie?
And bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Charlie, stop it. I'm talking to... I'm going to Barney.
He's mentally retarded.
Ha, 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 ha.
Tom, I'm sorry that I've got
off.
To go.
Ha, ha.
I need
bye,
to...
Bye.
I need to hang up
bye, Tom.
So that I can...
Bye, Barney.
I'll,
Bye.
I'll try to talk to someone that...
Okay.
All right, my friend.
Whatever.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
You take care now.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy that dirt sandwich.
Bye, Bonds. That was so tedious. so very tedious.
Thank you for staying in character,
well,
Charles.
Well, but I can't tolerate the interruptions by Tom Gavin. Constantly. He gets so excited, and I get so bored.
I think that was more than a piece of comedy. That was a look at our senior citizens. And
I believe so.
And what I like to call...
Routinely ridiculed.
The final solution.
Oh, my. Well, we've really plunged into the depths now, haven't we?
No, not like the other final solution.
Oh.
My final solution just takes people like that off the roads, out of the stores,
right?
Pretty much out of the sight, smell, able to interact, the personal space of anyone.
Well, you know what I know.
What's that, Charles?
I will tell you that someone won't be getting a concentration camp decorated toilet seat this holiday season. You've blown that opportunity, Mr. Man.
You truly have. Hello, Rob.
You know, I think it's also nice that Tom stayed in character.
Isn't that nice? Yes. Isn't that nice?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Someday that guy.
Give him an Academy Award.
Someday he'll be making baskets for me.
He'll win the little gold statue. The tardy.
Because that's really how it's got to be. Let's face it. There's 300 million people in this country now. It's too goddamn crowded to begin with. You got to thin the herd somewhere.
That's right.
And I've got to start by taking away driving privileges, taking away shopping privileges.
Now, that's your dark side. I'd explore that. I'd explore that with a suitable professional. I can help. I have my doctorate.
Charles.
Yes.
I'm offering layered comedy here.
Let's role play. I'll be a sunflower. You'll be the bee. Just kidding. Just kidding, of course. I'm glad Tom had a good time. That boy needs a release. Sweet release.
Did you have a nice BM?
I did. Yes, not funny. The other one likes it. Scatological humor does not do it for me.
Well, it's been great to have you in, Charles.
Always a pleasure. Please stop by the house this weekend if you get a chance.
I shall.
Come by the cabin.
I will.
Trout fishing.
You're picking up that DirecTV titanium thing, right?
I am indeed. Looking forward to it in Buzz.
Yes.
I, too, have had a black woman.
For you, Charles.
I do.
Hi, Charlie.
He's great.
Wow.
I love Charlie. Very interesting.
It was a world-class Charlie segment.
Wow.
That poor old man.
Wow.
You know,
he hung in there, didn't he?
Hey, you know what? We weren't cruel with him.
No.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
What?
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Tom.
Wait, did Charlie leave?
Yes, he's gone. Yeah.
Good skit, Tom. Good skit.
Very nice, Tom. Thank you for your help.
Good. Hey,
yes.
Is what's his name going to?
Who? Yes,
Barney's gone, Tom.
Good. How y'all doing today?
Tom,
it's going fine, Tom.
How do you spell toilet?
Toilet?
Yes.
T-O-L-T.
Holt. Tom, take us to break, please.
Don and Mike, go to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let me get one more of that.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I on the radio?
Oh, dear. Yes, you are.
Could I just suggest to your California listeners that since the polls are still open,
polls are open?
Yes, for the governor of California, that they vote for Don Geronimo, especially if they're using the punch card ballot. They should stick their dipstick in Don Geronimo's hole.
Well, that's certainly one way of looking at it, and we all here thank you for that.
Could I just say one more thing?
I'm not sure, but okay.
I just want to say, Lisa Remedy. She's not that hot.
Oh, now, stop. Stop.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Why did you do that? I mean, no, come on, be real for a second. Explain yourself. Can you?
Yes.
Why did you do that?
What?
I mean, you behaved so badly just now. You know, come on. Well, guy to guy, come on. Why? Why?
I must be drunk.
Yeah, no. You don't get off that easy, pal. You're not drunk. Now, why did you do it? Come on. What guy thing made you do that?
Barfalotis of the blowhole. Evidence.
No, that's not it either. Come on. You know, what is it?
Swollen taint.
Oh, jeez. You know.
Hairy nipples?
No, that won't do it either. That won't do it. Thank you for sharing.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
You're welcome.
You might want to have sex with me?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You know as well as I